Last week, when AstraZeneca put a temporary halt on the phase 3 trial of its corona vaccine, the world took notice. A few months ago, I talked about, if I was to talk about a phase 3 trial of anything, I'd have had to explain it to you what it meant. Now it just trips off the tongue. The thing is that in normal times, it's often quite hard to recruit people to clinical trials, and many studies fall over at this hurdle because they just don't get enough people to participate. The reasons are generally not that people are resistant, it's more about finding those for whom the trial is relevant and the administrative efficiency of doing that, which is one reason why the George Institute at the University of New South Wales has launched a project called Join Us, which aims to recruit a million Australians who pre-consent to be contacted if there's a study that might be appropriate for them. Professor Bruce Neil is Executive Director of the George Institute. Welcome back to the Health Report, Bruce.
Thanks, Norman.
Now, you're a clinical trialist. Before we get to Join Us, what do you think of AstraZeneca not telling us what happened to the woman in the vaccine study for whom they halted the trial?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, there's obviously huge interest out there, and that in itself might be a good reason for the company to disclose more information. I mean, it did eventually disclose some information, although that was really a sort of part of a financial process rather than a sort of sharing process.
Well, just to explain, I mean, that was a leak by investors who were at an investor briefing.
Right, yes. I mean,
that's not exactly being transparent, is it?
No, you're quite right, it's not. And there might be good reasons to disclose more information. It might, for example, provide other researchers around the world with an opportunity to look at the potential concern and provide input and information into it. It's probably not black and white, though, because there may be some cons to releasing information like this midway through a trial when you're not quite sure what's going on. If you've got a very severe, unusual event, it can have patient confidentiality issues. You might end up disclosing the identity of an individual, which obviously is something we're very careful about.
But even in a trial of 18,000 people?
Well, it's unlikely, but it's possible that if you disclose that this person had this particular condition, it's very unusual, they're in a hospital, staff might get to know, it could get leaked. So it's a theoretical possibility, probably more than a really substantive risk. I guess perhaps, Norman, the bigger concern is that if you say, look, this may be a risk, it's been turned up, but then it turns out that you complete the trial and it clearly isn't a risk, it's often very difficult to rein that sort of thing back in. So the media surrounding the announcement of something like that is going to retain much more prominence probably than the media that tries to reel that back in and say, look, actually, it wasn't an issue.
So you're creating,
and that could have concerns, you know, could have sort of ramifications down the track when you try to get people to take the vaccine.
Because they create expectations of the side effect. Let's go to Join Us. Tell us about Join Us. What's the idea?
Yeah, so you've given a really nice précis of it, Norman. It really is this sort of observation that if you go to the community and say, would you be willing to be involved in research that was relevant to you, about two-thirds of people will say yes. But actually, in practice, only about 1% will ever be involved in a clinical trial. So we've got this sort of huge discrepancy between those two. And as you said, it's mostly an administrative matter, not anything more substantive than that.
So the idea here then is what? What are you going to do?
So let me give you an example. You know, if I wanted to recruit a trial, there was a new promising drug for heart failure, the way that we would typically do that right now is we would go to the heart failure specialists around the country. We'd have to negotiate contracts with them, which is time-consuming and resource-intensive. And then we have to rely on those heart failure specialists to recruit people who will then go out, search databases, communicate with patients. And that can literally take months and tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars to put in place. What we want to do is turn that around and get Australians to sign up to a register where they say, look, I'd be happy for you to come to me direct and ask me about that trial. And the way that you can do that is I'll give you my information and I'll also give you permission to connect my information to the routinely collected data that's held about me in databases around the states and territories or around the country. And then what I can do is I can search those databases and I can say, look, here's 23,000 people who might potentially be interested. I can send them an invitation direct and then they can choose there and then if they want to get in contact with the researchers and be part of the project.
So how could I trust you that you're not going to use that data for anything else?
Well, first of all, I'm very trustworthy, Norman. Yeah, it's a very good question. Obviously, data security these days is a huge issue. So the way that we do this is we separate the data. So we ask you when you sign up to give us your identifiers, so your name, your address, your contact details. We also ask you to, in the first instance, just fill in a brief questionnaire, 20 questions about some common illnesses. Now, immediately after you do that, that same day, we separate and we keep separate those bits of information. So your identifiers stay in one database, and we attach to them a unique number. And then we export the health information to another database with that unique identifier attached, but without your personal identifiers. So if you break into that database that has the health information, and the same is true of any other health information that ultimately we put into that database, it can never be linked direct to you. It can only be linked through that unique identifier, and we're able to control very carefully who has access to those two pieces of data.
And will you get access to the medical benefits schedule, Medicare, pharmaceutical benefits schedule? Because that's what you've got to do to get the diagnosis, haven't you?
Yes, that's exactly right. So the way that works is that we provide to the Medicare benefit schedule the details of the individual with that unique identifier. They're able to then find the information relevant to that individual. But what they send back to us is that information only with the unique identifier, not with the patient's individual. So once again, the confidentiality of the data is preserved.
So apart from going to the vast audience of the health report, how do you plan to recruit people?
Yeah, so we plan to, so we've consulted widely, both with researchers and also with community across the country. And we're going to use every means possible to get this out in the general media and tell people about it and hope that people will sign up. Now, we're not sure what's going to be the best way to recruit people, but we're going to go out there, try lots of different mechanisms, and then the ones that work, we're going to stick with. We're also going to very specifically go after population groups who are often underrepresented. So thinking here particularly about sort of Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander groups with whom we've been consulting, and also culturally and linguistically diverse groups who are also often seriously underrepresented in medical research.
Thanks, Bruce. We'll put a link to your to join us on the Health Report's website. And obviously, we'd welcome Health Report listeners' views of it.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to sign up, please do. It's there for patients and the community at large.
Bruce Neal is Executive Director of the George Institute at the University of New South Wales.